Book of Romans, chapter 15. Let's start from verse 1.
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me.
Now we say infirmity, he's not talking about physical infirmity. Here he's talking about the spiritually weak-minded person. Last time we learned the weak person eats vegetable only. So that's the kind of weak infirmity he's talking about. If somebody is weak, that weakness is not causing any hindrance to the work of God. That weakness is not causing any sinful activities. Then we can bear his weakness, and then we can help him. God is saying you should not be pleasing yourself. We are here to please God. Mm-hmm. And we learn book of Galatians chapter 1 verse 10.
Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
According to these scriptures, he says, if I am pleasing the man, I will be not the servant of God. Galatians chapter 1, he says, you don't please anyone, you please God. Romans, he says, please your neighbor.
Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification.
Okay, now he says everyone should please his neighbor for his good to what? Edification. Now, edification comes, a spiritual edification. We are not going to tell the neighbor how he should cut his grass like mine, how he should, you know, paint his house just like mine. We do not want our neighbor to doing what exactly what we're doing. You will see one person put some kind of door to him, and then he'll say to his neighbor, you should do the same so we'll look alike. And sometimes people have money, sometimes they don't, and they do to please a neighbor. So that's what the Word of God is saying. We should not be telling neighbor to please us. We telling neighbor to please God. So we have to edify the neighbor, good edification, not the bad edification. Good edification means spiritual edification. Anything you telling that person, it should not be stumbling block according to the Word of God. It should be fitting according to the Word of God if I tell somebody what they should do, what they should not do. For example, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was not even talking about water baptism. We were talking about salvation. We were talking about how God is good and the Word of God and God is one. You cannot separate the Word of God from God. Whatever God is, what he says. God cannot change his word. His word is settled in heaven, and word cannot change. That's what my subject was. Now here the person starts saying, I just said the nominal churches are not doing the will of God. The person says, could you tell me who are the nominal churches? I said, well, I can tell hundreds of them. But I don't want to tell any name. One of the church might be your church name will come, and you will get offended. So I don't want to say it. But he said, could you give me at least four names? So I give him four names. After that, he starts saying, those churches, how do you know they are doing wrong? I said, I cannot guess any church what they're doing wrong. I can only tell according to the Word of God what they're doing wrong. They have to judge if they're doing man's commandment or they're doing God's commandment. Then he said, I don't want anybody telling me about water baptism, because this stuff came 1800. Before that, that stuff was not there. I said, sir, you got it wrong. Yeah. I said, 1800, the baptism came. Peter was in the first century. John the Baptist was in there. And the John the Baptist was baptizing before 1800. Peter baptized before 1800. Whatever the story you got, 1800 story, they twisted maybe baptism after 1800. So what I was trying to say, you cannot judge the person according to outward appearance or their rules and regulation. Only one way we can do, word of God. You remember one man came and said, Jesus, you are a good master. What Jesus said?
Why
call me good? There is only one good person, and that is God. So people might be saying they could take a different meaning. They said maybe Jesus is not God. Jesus is saying only good is God. I am not good. He didn't say that. You got revelation that I am God and God is good. So you got the revelation that I am God. That was the real meaning. Explain the scripture according to the word of God. You cannot give our own opinion. Our opinion should be based on the word of God. So that's what the edification is. Somebody says, what edification are you talking about? We're talking about the edification according to the word of God. Take the Bible. When I'm teaching something, if I'm teaching anything against the word of God, then you tell me. As long as I'm giving the Bible scriptures and proof from the word of God, you cannot tell me somebody told you something and it is not in the word of God and I should listen to that. Okay. So, verse 3.
For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me.
Whatever people did against God from the beginning, children of Israel, they went against God many a time. He says, the same reproach came on me. Jesus saying, it is not a new thing. They did it to Father, now they're doing to Son. And they're doing to Son, they are going to do it to you. He said, if they're doing to the green tree, they will do the dry tree the same way. That means the reproach came to the Father, came to the Son. So now he's trying to say, if Jesus Christ learned what the Father suffered, and he's suffering the same way. So what he's trying to say, that means you take the example of Jesus Christ and do the same. That means Jesus Christ came not to please himself, but he came to please the Father. And he gave his life for the church. That's what he says. He loved the church and he gave his life for the church. So he's trying to say, if you love the church or church member, do the same. Means you suffer for the members of the body of Christ. For what? Doing spiritual things, doing good things. That's what he's saying. And everything written in the Old Testament, it is written for our learning. Romans chapter 15, verse 4.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
It is written for our comfort and our spiritual growth. So if somebody says, oh, that is in the Old Testament, doesn't apply to me. Or that is Jesus said, doesn't apply to me. Or the word of God says so, but we are in the 21st century, it doesn't apply to me. The word of God says whatever is written for our spiritual growth and for our hope. We could not condemn the word, but we should condemn ourselves if we are not doing. Whatever God says, we do. Not what we say, we do. So, in the Old Testament is written everything for us and for our future. Okay, verse 5.
Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ.
God has given us the mind. What kind of mind He has given us? The mind of Christ. So once we do according to your will, you will mess up. So you do according to the mind of God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. He says,
let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind of Christ. And how you get the mind of Christ? When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get His power, His knowledge, His wisdom, everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. Please read.
But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
So in Christ Jesus, He made us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. So everything we have in Jesus Christ. So wisdom comes from what? From God. So our mind without God is a sinful battlefield. When we receive Jesus Christ, that's what the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 he says. We have to give our body as a living sacrifice and do not conform to this world, but what? Renewing your mind. Means what? You need the mind of Christ. That's what it is. And when that mind we have, then we will not judge people according to our way, the way of God. Verse 6. Romans 15, 6.
That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. How do you glorify God? Says, one mind and one mouth. What does that mean? Every believer should say the same thing. Every believer should have the same mind. If you want to please God, you want to praise God, you have to have a one mind and one accord. If you read Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19, what it says, if two of you agree, what happens? Then God hears our prayer. Two or three gathered together in my name, I will be in their midst. Three people has to agree. Three people start fighting, God will be not in their midst. So he says, two of you agree and pray, and three agree, I come. So here he's saying, if you want to praise God, and you want to lift God, and you want to do the will of God, then you have to do agreement. Agree everyone in the same manner. In the day of Pentecost, we heard everybody were what? In one accord and one mind and praying one place. And that's what the Word of God says. They got blessed, filled with the Holy Spirit. So here the Word of God is saying, we have to have one mind and one mouth and unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 7.
Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God.
So, receive one another, receive how? Receive in Christ. If the person doesn't want to be in Christ, he's not my brother. He is my enemy. He says, even though your own brother in Christ start doing evil thing, consider him as a stranger or Gentiles. Or if he is living in adultery and fornication, excommunicate him from the church if he is not listening. He has to give warning once, twice. Right. And if he doesn't listen, let that person go. But you have to have the unity in Christ Jesus. If the person do not want to listen, the Word of God says, how can two people walk together if they are not agree? That means if people not agree, they cannot walk together. So there will be always disagreement, And if there is a disagreement, you cannot do the Lord's work. You have to agree to do the Lord's work. Okay, verse 8.
Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the Father, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name."
Jesus Christ came into this world. He did not come for Israeli people alone. Then Jesus says, "It is not fair taking the children's bread and giving to the dogs." And when somebody hears that, they said, "Your Jesus is prejudiced. Your Jesus is not having any compassion, not love for that lady. Why he's doing this?" You know why Jesus did this? Jesus wanted to let his disciple know, my first mission is for my own people. I came to rescue my own people. That means Hebrew Jewish people. And the same commandment he gave to his disciples, Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10. You read carefully. He says, do not go to Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. And I'm sending you where? Sheep among the wolves. So go. And those people did not understand why he's saying this. But he wanted to let them know, first chance we are going to give to the Jewish people. And if they don't listen, then their blood is not coming on us. And even the Jewish people start saying, let his blood come on us and our children, crucify him. But Jesus came to his own. St. John chapter 1 verse 11, he says, he came to his own and his own received him not. Paul is saying in verse 8, let's read the 8 and then come back to 9 again.
Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers.
Okay, now he said, Paul is saying, Jesus Christ came as a Jewish man. He came as a Jewish child. He even allowed circumcised. Not only that, he did not interfere with the circumcised people, did not say circumcision should be stopped. Later on, Paul starts saying, but Jesus never said circumcision is wrong, you should not be circumcised. Jesus never said that. Why? Because he came to fulfill the Old Testament. And so when he came and he showed to the fathers means he's talking about all the Levites and all the Pharisees and all the Sadducees and all the Jewish people, he said, I came here not to destroy the law, but fulfill the law. And don't tell me that I came to destroy the law. He says, I came to fulfill the law. And so that's why when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. And then he gave the new commandment to his disciples. Now he says, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, and uttermost part of the world. Same Jesus who said to this lady, we cannot take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Same Jesus says in the verse 9, he says, he will glorify among the Gentiles and show God's mercy to Gentiles and sing among the Gentiles. Now, it is recorded from the Old Testament, but he's trying to say Jesus Christ worked for the Gentiles. He was the first one to give the message to Gentiles. Where do we find that? John chapter 4, we see the Samaritan lady came to that well to take the water. And Samaritan and Jewish people had like a cat and mouse. They were not friendly with each other. But Jesus Christ purposely talked to this Jewish lady. And when the disciple came, she says, shh, look at that. Jesus is talking to a Samaritan lady. What he's saying? Jesus knew everything what they were thinking. But he didn't apologize to them. Oh, I'm sorry, I was talking to that Gentile, and this is what I was saying, you might be thinking something wrong. He did not say anything. Why? Because he wanted to prove it to those people what he said to the lady. Lady put the pot there and went and bought all her friends. What Jesus said? Jesus said, bring your husband and I'll give the everlasting water. She said, I don't have husband. She said, you told the truth because you had four and now you have one. That's not your husband also. So she said, oh, you are a prophet. She went to her own town. I don't know how many friends she had. She was almost like a prostitute. She bought all the people. Come on and see. The man told me about my sin. And he is the prophet. Come and see. And if you read that chapter, all of those people came and listened to Jesus Christ. And you know what they said? What the lady says, now we know more, we learn than what the lady was telling about you. So, same thing that Ethiopian queen came to see the Solomon. She said, you know, I heard so much about you. But when I came, not even half of the story was learned. The same thing these Samaritan people said. We learned what this lady said. But now when we came, hearing you face to face, now we learn more. Could you come to our town and stay a couple of days? Then disciple came to know. This is what he was talking to this lady. Not anything about worldly stuff. He was talking to her about the kingdom of God. And then Jesus went to Samaria and preached in that town and stayed a couple of days. Jesus was the first prophet going to the unsaved people and preaching. Another prophet, God wanted to go to Nineveh and preach. He didn't want to go. He was sent there by force. But Jesus went willingly to Gentiles. So that's why this prophecy was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Verse 9.
And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name.
Now, not only Jesus did, he told his disciples to do, and now when we are telling Gentiles about Jesus Christ, his name is glorifying, his mercy is revealed, and Jesus Christ becomes their Lord and their God, and God's name is glorifying today. Verse 10.
And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people.
Okay, now he's trying to say, rejoice, Gentile, with his people. Who are the people? With children of God, Israeli people. Now the salvation came from the Jewish people, but the Gentiles also adopted in the family of God. Verse 11.
And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people.
So, we are the Gentiles. We should be praising God and thanking God for Jesus Christ and the apostles and prophets brought this good news to us from Jesus Christ. We were not even Jewish people. We were strangers, pilgrims, but now we are the citizens of heaven because of the message of Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 12.
And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust.
Okay, that prophecy is fulfilled already. And Jesus Christ came as the root of Jesse, as the Jewish person, and he is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 13.
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
If the Gentiles has to come to the Lord, only one thing will make them one in the Lord. Holy Spirit makes us one. Now all these denominations has all different kinds of doctrines. But if all of them filled with the Holy Spirit, they will be all one. But what the people are doing, they are not bringing the people in the Lord, and they are trying to make let's make all denomination in unity. It will never happen. Only the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit will make us one. Just like a Christ makes us one, like people come from different countries and things like that. Once they are Christian, we believe they are all believers. All the believers, when they fill with the Holy Spirit, they will be unity, togetherness, and oneness in the Spirit of God. That has to be done, and that will only happen when people start recognizing the Holy Spirit and His work. Verse 14.
And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
See, again, he is trying to say, God has given me this grace, God has called me this purpose, and what the purpose? To go and teach the Gentiles about Jesus Christ. And this is my mission. And he says, why I'm doing this? When I bring this message of salvation to you, and if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then God is going to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and when you receive the Holy Spirit, that means Gentiles will be sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So the sanctification comes in various forms. Sanctification by the Word of God, sanctification by the blood of Jesus Christ, and sanctification by the Holy Spirit. People can be sanctified by the hearing the Word of God. People can be sanctified by receiving Jesus Christ and washed with His blood. And this sanctification will remain. This he says, see, offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Ghost. So the Gentiles, they have to come to God, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and fill with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongue, then they will be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And if somebody says, I don't need a Holy Spirit, give them this scripture. If you don't want to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, don't receive the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies us every day, but Holy Spirit also sanctifies. He says, being sanctified means continuously sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Verse 17.
I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ and those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Iconium I have fully preached the gospel of Christ.
Okay. Now what he's trying to say, I am not bragging by myself, but I know God is doing signs and wonders and miracles. And why? To prove to the Gentiles and the whole world, I am the servant of God, and God is working through me. And without the signs and wonders and miracles, gospel has no power. I'm going to Africa, I'm going to India, I'm going here, I'm going there and preaching the gospel. But if there is no signs and wonders and miracle, that gospel is not that powerful. I heard some missionaries went to Africa a long time ago. And they went there and they got scared about the voodoos and all the satanic things, and they came back. They said, we are not matched to those people, we are scared. And the people who are born again Pentecostal people say, we will go, because we know we can do the works by the Holy Spirit, and the miracles start happening. So if you go to India and start telling them, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ, they say, we have 33 million gods, we don't need another god. Or some people say, okay, one God doesn't hurt. We have 33 and take one more, doesn't matter. That is not the answer. Answer is this. Your 33 million God doesn't do what Jesus does. Once you have Jesus, we don't need any others. That's the answer. So I tell other people, okay, what is your problem? I have this sickness, I have this disease. Did you go to your God? Did you go to your doctor? I did everything. Nothing working. If Jesus does something, will you receive him as your Lord and Savior? That's the message. And that's what St. Paul is saying. I am preaching this gospel with the signs and wonders and miracles. Okay, verse 20.
Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, God has sent me to preach the gospel to people who never heard the gospel. Here people are going and telling the people who are already church members, trying to pull them out of the church and come to my church and trying to deceive people. The word of God says there are so many people dying without God and without Christ. Why can we go to them and tell them about Jesus Christ? If somebody's born again, spirit-filled, and going to church, minding his business, if you're not doing something for the Lord, if you're not useful for that church, go to your pastor and say, I want to be useful for this church. And if they don't use, then come here. But we do not want to be pulling you from another church. There are so many people dying without God and without Christ. Some people are going to one person, 5 years, 10 years, keep on having friendship, telling them, they're not listening. Why should I waste my time? Why should I spend 2-3 hours to that person talking the same thing and nothing going into that person's head? Just like this is a glass and I put glass upside down and you keep on pouring, water is not going to go. If I find out that person doesn't want to change, I don't have to waste my time. I would go somewhere else and tell somebody. That's what St. Paul is saying. I'm not same foundation somebody already laid. Foundation is Jesus Christ, and I want to preach about Jesus Christ, but I want to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If they already know, then I'll go to somewhere else. I went to Salvation Army Church and preached the gospel. And after the preaching, the man starts crying. He said, I never saw the miracles like this in my life. I said, sir, are you happy? He said, yes. Then obey the gospel. He said, what should I do? Give me permission to baptize all these people in your church. He said, I'm 80 years old now. The Salvation Army kicks me out, I will go. I preached to those people, baptized them, the whole church. And then I left. I did not take the church to myself. I gave it to him. This is your church, take care of it, but preach the truth. So we have to have that kind of boldness. Somebody says, now you're going against Paul. Paul didn't go to some church to change their doctrine. But that time, there was no Salvation Army church, period. There was no wrong teaching at that particular time. Only they will say, I am Apollos, and I am Paul's, and I am Peter's, and things like that. So Paul says, there's no division like that. You know, we are all one in Jesus Christ. So, in the first century, church was filled with the power of God, signs and wonders and miracles. After that, slowly, it died down. But God revived his people again. And now we are going back to the basic. Not to the what the people start wrong doctrine, wrong teaching. If somebody said to me, oh, you're teaching the wrong teaching, is not the 18th century, 19th century teaching. Sir, I'm not teaching 18th, 19th century. I'm teaching the teaching of the first century church based on the apostles and prophets. Okay, let's go 22.
For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you.
Can you imagine? St. Paul is saying, when I wanted to come to Rome, I had lots of hindrances. And he says, I went to every town, every place. and there was no place remaining for me to go. Can we have that kind of testimony? When I was in India, I went to every state in India, and then I said, Lord, I have not a single state left to go. I want now, next state is go to another country. I applied to Pakistan, I could not get my visa. They said, we cannot give you visa. I said, Lord, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I started in Jerusalem, now I want to go to Judea, or at the most part of the world, and door is closed. God said, I will take you to the free country. I didn't know what was the free country. I thought maybe London, maybe some other foreign country. He said, I'll take you to America. From there you can go anywhere. And thank God I listened to the word of God and came here. Now the doors are open to go any part of the world from USA. So St. Paul is saying, I went everywhere, not a single place left. So I'm coming here. So we should be doing the same thing before we leave this place. Not a single house should be left that we didn't knock. We're leaving from this place. I would be having a good conscience. Not a single place or single house I left without testifying and without going. So get busy. Okay, let's read. Verse 24.
Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go on to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints.
This was written before the book of Acts chapter 25 and 20. That time, he already finished the Jerusalem journey. Now he said, I want to go to Rome. But the letter was he was writing, he said, I want to go to Jerusalem to minister to them. How did he minister to them? He gathered the finances, went to Jerusalem and started ministering to them. I think at that particular time he might have written this letter to them. Okay, let's read verse 26.
For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are in Jerusalem.
This is what he's saying. Why I'm going to Jerusalem? Take some offering, take some money. There is a famine. So I want to go there, minister to them. When that journey is finished, then I'll come to you. Okay.
It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things.
Do you know what he's trying to say? He says, if ministering to you spiritual things, how can you help minister? Carnal thing means money. Give your money, your tithes to the church, and that's the way you can help the minister, help the church. They are taking care of you spiritually. You take care of them financially. Verse 28.
When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ.
So he's trying to say, I'm coming to give you some spiritual blessings, and I will share blessing of the gospel of Christ with you. So in short, each and every believer, when you visit somebody, go to somebody's house or talk to people, what you take? Take the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ to that family. And say to that family, peace be unto you. And stay in that house, talk to them about God. If they don't want to receive Christ, if they don't want to receive you, what do? Shake the dust, get out of that town, get out of that house, and go somewhere else. That's what the word of God is teaching us. Okay, let's read verse 30.
Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints.
He's saying, now, if you want me to come to you, only way you can bring me to you to bless you, pray for me that I should be blessed in Jerusalem, because he knew that people are trying to kill him there, destroying him there. So he said, I'm going, I'm doing my job there, and I want to be safe and secure to come back to you. So please pray. Without God's people's prayer and without God's grace, I won't be able to come there. So each and everyone needs each and everyone's prayer. Pastor prays for the church. Church has to pray for pastor. And that's the way unity should be there, so we can be strengthened to one another by prayer. Last two verses.
That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all.
Amen. Now he says, when I'm coming there, I want to make you refreshed. I want to make you happy. I want to make you joyful. So I am coming with a God's joy, God's blessing. And when I come, you will have the peace and joy of God. And only God can do it. Without Jesus, there is no peace. But we have to have peace in our heart. If you don't have peace, we cannot give anybody peace. If I don't have a joy, I cannot give anybody joy. Some of the people, you know what they do? When they want to minister to somebody, somebody says, oh, I have this problem. Oh, I have the same problem. Or maybe worse than you. And I have this problem. I'm going through all this trouble myself. How are you going to win that person? You have to say to that person, what you have, I had more than that, but Jesus Christ took care of it. And now I'm free from those problems, so I can tell you what problem I went through, what trouble and trial I went through. God allowed me to go through this way so I could help you. Amen. And I'm not doing myself. With God's grace, you will be helped. That's the hope we're giving to people. People can come to us with all kinds of problems. We should not say, I don't know, I cannot do anything, I cannot help you. Sometimes people say, no, prayer doesn't work. I want money. I would say, pray first. Then God will help. And when you pray, God will open the door. But if I say, just think that even though I have the money in my pocket, and I say, don't worry, I have the money, I'll be there. And while coming, somebody robbed me. What would happen? I would not have money. But I would say, pray that God will bring the money. God will give the grace. If God doesn't want to help us, nobody can help us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for St. Paul. Give us grace like him. He said, I preached everywhere and no place left. Not only that, the other people start saying, this Paul came here who did the world upside down. These people did Lord's work with all kinds of trials, tribulation, and suffering. We do not have that kind of suffering. Give us grace to suffer for the sake of Christ, preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and bringing them to the salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen.